In a world where options are limitless, but time is not, two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, a podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center, this is Binge or Cringe.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Amazon Prime has an original show I think you're gonna like.
I'm listening.
It's called Hunters. It's got a few no names in it, like De Niro.
I've heard of him. I've heard of his work.
You have?
I'm vaguely familiar with his handful of
Carol Kane.
I believe they're teenage rom coms, most
yes,
of them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I figured, again, you know, all the streaming services keep telling me what I want to see. And I'm like, okay, finally, I'll get into it. And you're going to love it for so many, many reasons. So many.
Is he actually a hunter? Like he was in Deer Hunter? Like, is it similar to that?
Well, it does have, let me see if there's someone else you would know other than Carol Kane. Other people you just recognize. Okay, so there, though some of those things I may say are meant to be funny, the Holocaust, not funny.
Oh, man, that's...
Okay?
All right,
I'm listening. Let me put that out there first.
Okay.
This is based, very loosely based, on the true story, which is not some secret, but in the 70s, after the war, which ended in the... In the 40s.
I was about to say, that's well after the war.
Yes.
If I'm doing my maths correctly.
People realized that there were still Nazis alive and well and living in America and South America.
I think I see where this is going.
And so...
It feels like it's a movie or a TV show that Quentin Tarantino should have produced.
Yes.
All right.
Very much so. And a Mr. Peel is behind it. And there are some serious Tarantino aspects to it and some Adam Cravens aspects to it, because the 20 somethings, they work at a comic book store, and there are lots of conversations about comic book characters. And then you have these, it really is a great juxtaposition, because you'll have the current story, you'll have, for instance, there was a backstory that
this really feels like a movie that would have been made, like it's Adam Cravens and Glorious Bastards.
Yes, very much so.
The way you're describing it to me right now.
So you see, and you can, well, you can always tell it's the flashback because everyone's really, really, really thin and sad. But they're in Auschwitz, and you see before that, you see it says like 1938, and a mother dies, and she gives her wedding ring to her son. And then it's like a few years after that, and you are, I think, in Germany, maybe Poland, but the Jews are being rounded up, and this guy he grabs his mother's ring, and then he's taken to a camp, and he swallows it, so they can't get it, because, you know, they stole all of the material items that the Jews had, and their family heirlooms and everything. And there have been lots of good movies about that. Not that I'm celebrating that, but you know, when they get it back, I was like, yay, we gave it back, or some of it, I don't really know. Anyway, so you see the story of the ring and how he...
The one ring.
That one ring, and how he is helping this girl escape and blah, 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 and he's about to propose to her, and he says, I'll propose to you in a minute when we get to the other side. Then, of course, he's killed. And then later... Current time, you see that they discover all of this stuff.
This is quite the downer.
I know. But I'm making a point here. So you just learn this story of the ring. It was, you know, belonged to a woman who passes away. It goes with her son. He falls in love in a horrible, horrible place, and then is killed. And that ring is just one of a million stories of a rattle, a photo, all these things that the Germans have hidden away. Who's the head German who's hiding all of it in the big bank?
Shaft.
Boromir's dad.
Oh, so Denethor is...
Denethor is in it.
Oh, my goodness.
Not for long, but still.
Well, I mean...
He's real good. I can't remember his name, but he's in a lot of stuff. When he's ever in it, he's real good.
It's a John...
yeah, him. John. That guy.
I can't think of his last name right now.
Man, he's good.
Yeah. He was fantastic in Fringe. He was...
I thought he was in Friends. It's like, no, I don't remember
yes,
that episode.
He played Joey for one season when Matt LeBlanc wanted too much money. I'd totally watch that season. I would too. Just put the entire cast of Lord of the Rings in for the kind of like the when Bo and Luke asked for too much money and they put in like the Duke cousins.
That's right.
Oh, like that. They're just me. You just throw in an 11th season of Friends and they're like, well, they were all really expensive and the Lord of the Rings cast wasn't doing anything.
Oh,
so
we popped them in.
So there you go.
So again, you have the, and it's not sepia colored, but it's got a grayish cast. And it's a word other than sepia, I'm sure, that describes how the flashbacks are done. So you see this one story of the ring and all this stuff, and you have little snippets like that. And then in between, the horror of what was happening during World War II and the, oh, I don't want to toss around the word vigilante.
John Noble.
Yes, John
there
Noble.
There we go. Okay.
But what's happening in the 70s, how the hunters are going, hey, there are Nazis here, and they're like living the good life. In between that, you have serious comedy that's maybe a minute long. One of them was like a commercial, and it was all these Nazis in the southern states saying, come, you love our pie. And it's like, it's you got to see it because it's jarring. But you
especially
kinda,
when put against the juxtaposition of like the Holocaust or like a man dying before he can.
Right. And you kind of need it because
that's some heavy.
It's because, you know, it really happened.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. So what Jordan Peele did was just kind of altered your now, train of thought for a minute.
If you don't know who Jordan Peele is, like had the. Show very
similar. Key and.
Huh?
Key and.
Key, yes. Well, that's right. Key and Peele, very similar to like the Chappelle Show, but he's also the one that has more recently mm-hmm. done like Us. Just, he's a vastly talented writer, director, like performer who is quite adept at comedy, mm-hmm. but also scaring the heebie-jeebies. Out of you.
You're listening to Binge or Cringe, brought to you by Hanson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Allen talking with Adam Cravens about what is worth watching, and it is Hunters on Amazon Prime Video. So the comedy that he intersperses, you have the great little conversations about, well, if there wasn't Robin to bring the light into the world, Batman would just be dark all the time, and Robin doesn't get the credit that he deserves. And so you get this kind of fun stuff and how. Well, I can't tell that because it's a very adult show, but not adult
like.
But some of the jokes are pretty funny. Anyway, you and have an introduction of the whole cast, and this is what made me think of Tarantino, because you have one of the women who works with De Niro in this. She is Shaft, but a woman. Gotcha. She has an afro out to here. She is epic. And then you have one that appears to be a British nun. She seems to cuss a lot and worked with MI6, or did she? And then you have the guy who...
I'm telling you, in that sentence right there, you have written a show that the cursing nun that worked for MI6.
Right, like, there.
You can just make that the title.
Yeah.
Like, I need to at least watch the first 5 episodes of that show.
So you have, I don't want to say a comic book cast, but you have a varied cast of characters here.
And eventually Nazis do get hunted, right?
Oh!
I'll tell you, because I don't remember anyone coming to their defense mm-mm. during the press junket or the release of Inglourious Basterds. Now, there any other thing you do where, like, people are being, like, you know, killed or like having, you know, revenge sought on them, you're always going to have a group to come forward and just be like, maybe we shouldn't do that. That's improper. I have found, and it seems that if you kill Nazis, nobody's like, whoa. hey, let's hear the Nazi side of this. They're just like, no, that's okay. That's all right.
Well, you had an interesting take. Well, here's the setup, really. There's a 20-year-old guy, of course, the attractive young guy, and you see a moment, he lives with his grandmother because everyone else is dead. I don't recall how or why, but everyone else is dead. So he lives with his grandmother. She's awesome. He loves his grandmother. And then that night, he hears her talking to someone, and she's murdered right in front of him. And he goes ballistic. Because, first of all, someone broke into his house and killed his grandmother, and no one knows who it is, and he's just, he's everything. He's angry. And then he finds out, he stays angry, he finds out all these things about his grandmother that he had no idea. And she was the one that put all of this together, because one day she thought she recognized a Nazi from Auschwitz in Manhattan. And then it all started. And she shows up a lot. She shows up in the flashbacks and in just the current telling, even though her character is deceased. And her character was in love with Pacino's character. And
Pacino's in this as well?
Did I not say Al Pacino was in it?
You said De Niro was.
Oh, my God. I always mix them up. All right, now I don't know who's in it. Hold on.
Well, I mean, either way, honest to goodness, if it's Pacino or De Niro.
Sorry. It is Pacino.
Okay.
Sorry. So, yes.
That's still, I mean, it's not like you downgraded.
I know, but I want to be correct. And he...
But it's not like Pacino's the store brand.
No, but Pacino, he went to Auschwitz as well. Obviously, he survived. And he has become incredibly mysteriously wealthy, so much so that the young guy calls him Batman's real name. He says, what, you got Bruce Wayne money? What's... Because he has all this stuff. He has a room with secret doors. He's got a lab. He's got this. He's got that. He really is a Bruce Wayne vigilante type going after these Nazis.
But instead of like comic book villains, he's going after Nazis.
Yeah.
This is absolutely like a movie I would watch.
Yes. And
instead of committing your millions of dollars to fighting crime and vigilante style, you just kill Nazis.
Now here... You recognize this actor, Dylan Baker. He was in The Good Wife. He's the kind of guy that plays, you know, the doting husband. He's the good neighbor.
Generally, yeah.
Generally, he's cast as that guy.
But I think he was, was he not in the Spider-Man movies?
I'm sure he was.
I want to say he was, he played Connors, Dr. Kirk Connors,
yes.
I believe.
So I'm not going to ruin this for you, but the scene was just so great. And by the way, the scenes with him in it in particular are bright, just bright 1950s color.
Almost like yes. Donna Reedy.
And yes.
Okay.
And so he is, it's President Carter is the president. And so he is speaking much in the same vein as Carter, same accent. And he's having a barbecue. And the last person comes in and this person introduces his wife. And this is really the only thing that bothered me. I was trying to think, well, she looks like she's 25. That just doesn't compute. I'm not going to be a stickler for how old she should be, but she recognizes this Southern man as the butcher of whatever and has a fit. And before you know it, and this is, by the way, the first scene in the movie, before you know it, that guy, Mr. Hey Neighborino, very much Ned Flanders. Hey Neighborino, why don't you get yourself a wiener? Pulls out a gun, murders his family, murders her, murders everyone.
So it'd be kind of akin to like if on an episode of My Three Sons, instead of him imparting,
yes,
imparting like, you know, family knowledge, or like Andy Griffith just being like, well, tell you what, Barn, here's what's going to happen. Come here, B.
That's exactly
what it was. Floyd and Goober. Hey, what are you up?
That's exactly what it is. And turns out this guy is, well, he is a Nazi. And, you know, and he hates his family and his kids, and then sits there.
Final episode of Andy Griffith.
Oh, wow.
Turns out
he's a Nazi.
They do the Shyamalan, and Andy was a Nazi hiding in plain sight.
So this horrible creature waits for like 12 hours with his three dead boys floating in the pool, his dead wife, his dead friends, his dead coworkers, waiting for the guy, the cleanup guy.
This,
you know?
This is a dark episode.
And that's how it starts. That's how the whole
cringe.
That's how the whole thing starts.
Oh.
Okay?
I think I understand why there's bits of comedy interspersed in
here. Yeah, because there kind of has to be.
Everyone would be so depressed, they'd be like, I can't watch any more of these episodes.
Right. And so the editing is really good in that you are dealing with something incredibly horrible, and I don't know how many of the characters that they hunt down were actual people,
right.
Or if they just say, you know, made up and said this Nazi did this or whatever. But it's extraordinary. And on the other side of it, you have an FBI agent who's a woman, and it's the 70s, And she's a woman of color, so she's not getting no respect. And the guy she keeps asking for cases said, here, go look this up. Just get out of the way. And she realizes that a certain age group of people are being killed. And all of them have been called war refugees. And she is finding out that the hunters exist. And that's the whole thing. How they find the Nazis, what's going to happen, because they're just, they're taking them out. I'm finding you. You're a Nazi. They're confirming they're the Nazi. They have, you know, by signatures, by voice. I mean, they're doing all this stuff. They're confirming it. And then she's also doing the thing, but they are kind of just murdering people. But still, you're a Nazi.
I get it. And I'm not one of those people that just advocates, like, murder because you think it's okay.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to make an exception in the event that they are proven Nazis.
Yes. There's one other thing. The guy whose grandmother died, whose name I don't remember, he kind of has a superpower. He can look at something and you'll see it, you know, you'll see a pattern be highlighted because he sees patterns, so he's the puzzle solver. And so he can hear things that maybe you didn't hear and say, oh, that's Morse code, or oh, this is that.
He's a very low-level X-Men.
Yes, yes.
Didn't get to be in any of the movies, but like maybe he's on one of the special features.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's real good.
Yeah.
I cannot express it enough. It's
sounds very unique at a bare minimum.
Very much so. It does say, it does have a TV, an MA, of course, but it's got 16 plus. And quite honestly, I think that's because of the Holocaust-type images. And I don't think any of this is stock footage.
Right.
Just because, you know, we've seen so much. I don't recognize any of it, but...
And there's only going to be a finite amount of video footage from the 1940s.
But it is, when you realize what's happening, it's horrifying. For instance, a German making 10 prisoners sing German songs, and if they sang out of tune or forgot the words, he murders them, but he's broadcasting it through the whole camp.
And that's why it's...
That's why
people don't really frown much when they're just like, and then the Nazi died. And it was painful.
Right. It's exceptional on a lot of levels. And there are... It's got some quirky dialogue. I'm not going to say you're going to laugh out loud, but you're going to go, oh, that is funny. But not... Yeah, how they deal with things, the dark humor is there, and some of it you will really appreciate. And it's interesting how there's a juxtaposition with the funny.
At a minimum, I can literally think of no show to draw a direct parallel to. Like, this thing is unique.
It is like a movie. I thought at times it was a Tarantino movie. Now, there's not a lot of splatter, but... When you have the quips and you have all the characters with their names, their nicknames in front of them, it's like, bah, 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 and they're in slow motion and they're all like making a poster together.
Well, I mean, not for nothing. A lot of the larger budget, like streaming shows that are made specific. I mean, The Mandalorian. Honest to goodness, there's films that do not have a budget like that.
So
it doesn't surprise me that Amazon, who I hear has some money.
A little.
Yeah. I mean, besides what maybe like Netflix, I would say they're probably the one that's putting the most money into their original programming. Well, Disney Plus in there as well.
Yeah. Hunters is exceptional. I have not binged as much as when The Mandalorian came out, we couldn't binge it because we had to wait week to week. But my desire for revenge and to see what will happen next is all-consuming regarding Hunters.
Your bloodthirst as you...
Yes, yes, yes. It's excellent adult fare. So that is a definite binge. Absolutely. Hunters on Amazon Prime. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
You've been listening to Binge or Cringe. Download your favorites and keep up with new episodes in the Hintz and Oakley Podcast Center.